Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. Grant is with us again today with Tara and myself, Sandy. Thank you, Grant.
I love it. I do really too. Love, you know.
Her little sheep, her little
He's part of peep? My flock. He's
your
my
peep.
He's my peep. He's my little peep. You know, I just, Grant, I love you. There's nothing greater than to be able to serve with your children.
Absolutely.
And seeing them love and be a part of the kingdom of God.
Watch them grow.
I know. And so for me, I think it's the highest honor that knowing we couldn't have our full team here because of the snow and the all the stuff that we've had going on, to be able to grab my son and say, hey, come alongside, do ministry shoulder to shoulder with me. It's a
That's
blessing.
Right.
So I just want to say thank you.
We thank you for coming.
Don't mean to embarrass you.
That's
if
fine.
You guys could see, I just pulled a mommy moment on him. Would you read the passage for us today, Grant?
Okay. So I'll be reading in Matthew 25, 31 through 46, the parable of the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, I assure you, whatever you did for the least of these of the brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't take care of me. Then they too will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or without clothes or sick or in prison and not help you? Then he will answer them, I assure you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me either. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
Okay. We have been, thank you, Grant, we have been examining the sheep and the goats and then the foundation of the earth, the value, and then the invitation to come. What it comes down to, I found several commentators referred to the outflow of what he's talking about between the sheep and the goats, what they've done or not done, is called the sixfold ministry that we should be walking in. And that if we are really being examiners of our heart and how to serve, it's not saying that you have to do all six of these. That's not what it's saying. But there's like six aspects that he is bringing out of what ministry should look like. So I would go so far as to say is if a church does not have the full measure of these, that's concerning. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think in a lifetime, if you have not done all of these, that's concerning. But the sixfold ministry is that feeding the hungry, obviously someone who's hungry. And I want us to understand this is, let's take it on not just physical. I want us to examine this physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, and spiritually. Why would I say the whole person? Because Jesus, it says in Isaiah 53:5, it's by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. That is a spiritual healing, but spiritual healing takes care of everything else, the mental, the emotional, the social, and the physical. And so when we are saying these, I want us to think on all levels of the person, Sandy.
And once again, we go back to the open door.
Right.
Because they do that balance.
Exactly.
You know, they can't teach them the gospel about Jesus until they're physically fed, emotionally right, and mentally well.
Right. Exactly. And equipping them with even life skills that they need,
right.
You know, things along that line. So it's hungry, thirsty, a stranger, the naked, which one commentator said you could use the word alienated, which would be a foreigner. The stranger would be the foreigner. Alienated, anybody that's alienated, anything that makes you feel exposed or ashamed on that one, okay? The sick, and then those that are in prison. Okay, that would be the sixfold ministry of the areas that we have in our lives that we would want to minister to people. Examining that and thinking through what that might look like, we have to say, okay, but what if I have a spiritual gift that doesn't necessarily, we think, I'm not accountable for that because that doesn't fit in my spiritual gift, right? But here's the deal. I was reading through, and I'm thinking this was, I just went blank. I'm thinking this is Bible Knowledge Commentary, but it may actually, this may be the Cornerstone Commentary. They listed out the fivefold ministry of the spiritual gifts that we have. And so I thought it was really funny that one had the sixfold ministry of, you know, this particular prose narrative, and then the others examine the gifts, because we might say, well, no, I have the gift of apostleship, so I don't have to do that. And the answer is absolutely not. That's not true. We are accountable to serve those that are hungry, thirsty, mm-hmm. you know, strangers, alienated, sick, or in prison. We're called no matter what. So the fivefold ministry of the gifts are the apostles. The gift of apostleship is somebody who shares the gospel, the ability to clearly explain Jesus Christ and what he did, a bold witness, okay? The prophet, which is the person that can proclaim the word of God, the whole counsel of the word of God, this is the person that can actually speak the word. So they look at a situation and then give you what scripture has to say. The evangelist, obviously, is the person that can say it in such a way that poof, that person comes to know Christ. A pastor is the person that they can take what we have in the word and take it to people and help them to remember it and use it to nourish people. They're kind of like the ones that are always breaking the bread for people, making it to where it's nourishing the soul. That's the pastor's role. And then the teacher is the one that can take a circumstance and then all of a sudden they're teaching how it applies. The commentator said that if you take your gift, and let's just say a person's dominant in one, but many times we have a blend of several. And he said, so let's say if it's the apostle, if the apostle's in the situation and the person there, let's say at the open door mission, they're going to be serving the food and saying, you know, Jesus, this is what he did when he was walking with them. He stood beside them, and the apostle begins to clearly share what happened within the gospel message, okay? If it's the prophet, they're the person that's going to be standing there saying, as the person's talking about their life, you know what? That reminds me of this verse. You really need to hear this verse. And then they'll give a verse that kind of like cuts to the quick and conviction occurs. The evangelist will be feeding them, and all of a sudden, you know, they've got their heads bowed and they're praying to receive Christ. But they're still in the act of serving. Do you see how that is played out? And obviously the pastor is the one that's helping them to remember and to nourish them and shepherding over them with the word. And then the teacher will come in and say, well, this reminds me of these points, you know, and they might actually be giving the points to the lessons of what could be learned from scripture. So it's kind of fun to see how that plays out. You could take any of the other gifts as well. They use the main teaching gifts, but you could take the person who has mercy and show how mercy might show out in each of these. And the key is that we can't make an excuse. There's no excuse. And, you know, I didn't even realize it at the time when I first started teaching at the Open Door Mission. I wasn't looking for a place of local missions to serve, but because Michaela came home and asked when she was in first grade, Mommy, when you grow up, are you going to be a missionary? I'm like, we are missionaries. She's, no, somebody who goes overseas. We wanted her to understand that a missionary is anybody who is telling others about Jesus. You can do that locally. You can do that internationally. And that's when we found out about the Open Door Mission. Greg Googled, and we went and took a tour. And after taking the tour, we found our place to serve. And it's just what I do, because we're called to serve. And I hadn't ever really thought about it. But now that I'm at Grace, and one of the things we do to train our students is we have this class that's called Student Leadership Training, And what they are required to do is, servant leadership training. It's the student servant leadership training. And so it's the SLT. They are required to have so many hours a semester where they are serving somewhere, because we are wanting to train them. They should always be in the place of serving, because as we're serving, that's how we are trained to be leaders. And ultimately, the sheep have been trained well. They know how to do a servant leadership service, and that's what he's wanting from us. And because when we do that, there's a ministry that occurs. This one commentator, Wayne Grudem, says it becomes, because Jesus says it's the ministry, what you do to the least of them, so you also do to me. He says you minister to God, and then you minister to others, and by that, the ministry goes to the world. It has that threefold. That's really funny, because all of them had the fold,
the fold in it. Yeah.
And the intent, the goal is to lift our eyes from man's condition so that they see God's provision, which is Christ the Redeemer. So it's a changing of where our sight is. What do you think about that? How would you apply the sixfold, fivefold, threefold? It's a lot of folds.
It's a lot of folds going on there.
I think so. The threefold is the ministry to God, others, and the world.
Right.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, they really, I mean, you don't really have to work hard to apply them to each other. I mean, they just sort of, like, fit in naturally, because, I mean, if you first take one of the fivefold ministries, like, where your teaching is, or, like, what kind of gift you have, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, then all you have to do is just take that and apply it to the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, and the people in prison, and, like, apply it to those areas so you can share the gospel. And through that, you'll be doing ministry to God, ministry to others, and ministry to the world.
So you have any examples in your lives where you've seen where somehow it's come out? You know, I can give you one. Just you think through ways that we might serve. When we went through the flood, and we had no idea how to do anything, like, we're, like, in devastation, total crisis. My mother-in-law and my father-in-law, Joe and Jerry, they showed up at our house, totally would not think anything of what they did. But she had $50 worth of quarters. And she said, "Give me all the laundry." We're like, "What?" She goes, "Give me all the laundry." Because our clothes were just soaked in this gross sewer dirt water. And she took all of our linens, everything from sheets, bedding, clothes, you name it, and went to the laundromat and literally for 2 days washed everything. For her, she was just taking care of the need in the moment.
Well, I think that's so true, because I think everybody thinks they have to do something great and big and whatever. It's the simple things that really help.
Yeah, and she would not be a person that would say, "Oh, yeah, yeah, that was definitely a moment where I was being a sheep."
She was just being herself.
She was just being Jerry. Laundry is something I can do.
Yep.
Let the men take care of the house. Let me do the laundry. It's like, I can deal with this. And that's, she was being a sheep. And it greatly ministered to us. And it has been a life example for me on what I should be like in serving others. And so finding the place where I am, you know, more apt to do something, then you're less conscious, you know what I mean,
right,
of it's all about the works or being noticed or title or position or whatever, that we can mess things up with that stuff. And so I want to challenge those that are listening to really be thinking through how you can use your gifts to meet the needs.
And I think you made it important. It doesn't have to be these five that you mentioned.
No, it can be any gift.
The mercy, the compassion.
It can be giving.
Giving, right.
It can be serving. It can be
a lot of them.
Administration. I know Bethany Sim, she is our student development office manager, and I told her this week, I would take her as my office manager anywhere, because her gift of administration is so effective that if I say da da da,
it's done.
I don't even have to tell her the steps she needs to do. she's done it
right.
the way it needs to be done. And it's unconscious on her part. It's just her taking care of the need as it has come up. And so she's being a sheep,
right.
but she's not aware she's being a sheep. And it is through the gift of administration. And so it doesn't have
to. Just like, you know, it's so simple to give somebody food that's sick, because there's a lot of sick people out there right now.
Yeah.
You know, you're making yourself food, make some more.
And Sandy, you definitely have the gift of giving food.
Yeah. I didn't bring one today, sorry.
She normally has something for Nick. It's so fun. It's just beautiful how it's a call for us to use the gift, the blessing, because these are blessings he's given us. When we have been given that gift, then to in turn pour it out and give it to somebody else. And so I want to ask those that are listening, I want you to say a prayer. One, I want you to ask God, you know, how can I be in a relationship with you in the way that I have my relationship secure? Mm-hmm. I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and he's my Savior. But then how can I be your sheep? How can I truly be the person that is feeding the hungry and the thirsty and taking care of the stranger and the alienated and the sick and the prisoner? And then asking, with the gifts that you have given me, how can I most bring glory to mm-hmm. the kingdom of God? How can I most effectively serve you, Jesus? And sometimes he takes us out of our realm of gifting. I had a phone call once. I was doing dishes, and they were asking for food for a couple at our church. And husband was going through cancer, and I'm not a person who does well with cookie meals. I am pretty simple about that. I'm not a cook. But I was convicted I needed to prepare a meal.
Yeah.
That was way outside of my gifting, outside of my comfort zone, and I did it. And that was the first time, I was in my mid-20s, late 20s when I did that. And I felt so good about getting outside of my comfort zone and doing something to minister to somebody that God taught me a lot about. It's not just about what I think my main gifts are. It's about doing
just
what
doing
needs
something.
To be done to
mm-hmm.
meet the need
right.
as well. Because it's that third party, the one mm-hmm. in need. So I want you to pray about the people around you and ask, who's the person mm-hmm. in need I need to serve today?
Yeah, open my eyes to see them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then not just see them, but to serve them in the
right.
name of
well,
Jesus.
Yeah, so you know how to
yeah.
do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We love hearing from you. Please feel free to contact us at terrorye.org or cultivatinghearts.webs.com. God bless.